Venerable Bhikkhu, brothers and sisters, personality belief is Sakkayaditti. Personality belief is dukkha. Personality belief is the cause of dukkha. Personality belief, cessation of the personality belief is cessation of dukkha. And the path leading to the cessation of personality belief is a path leading to Nibbana. I repeat that again for your information. Personality belief is Sakkayaditti. Personality belief is dukkha, suffering. Belief in personality is a cause of suffering. Cessation of the personality belief is the cessation of suffering. And that is Nibbana. And the cessation, the path leading to the cessation of suffering is the path leading to the attainment of Nibbana. What is this personality belief? We normally call personality pertaining to the physical impression one would create, and that creation is completely centered on his personality. Personality is different from ego. Ego is the belief in I. But personality is something that is woven round your physical body. The belief one has that in this physical body is the being. And the composition of the being within is centered around the physical body one possesses. And that is personality. Why did Buddha say that personality is dukkha? We have discussed this subject at length. In many discourses I delivered here, that the more we know about it, the better. There is normal suffering a worldly subject too, as defined by Buddha in the Wheel of Dhamma. There is suffering in the repetition of births. There is suffering when one grows old. There is suffering when one is subject to sickness. There is suffering when one comes to the end of his lifespan and pass away. There is suffering when you associate with persons whom you do not like. There is suffering when you part from ones whom you like. There is also suffering when one does not get what one wishes to possess. These are generally instances of suffering. But Buddha clearly stated that the very existence is suffering. And that is due to the personality belief you all possess. This personality belief is called Sakkayaditti. Belief which you have woven around your physical form as a being existing in you. The author of all your activities, so to say. What are your activities? You can perform 6 activities. You can see with your eyes. You can hear with your ears. You can smell with the nose. You can experience the taste with the tongue. Experience the contact with the body. And experience a thought in your mind. These are 6 things that you can perform. And these 6 things compose the world around you. That which is found in the world around you is a composition of these 6 activities by you. And these activities are committed by you with the false belief that there is a being in you and he is responsible for the commission of these activities. Whereas, in fact, the act of seeing is done as a cause and effect. The act of hearing is also done as a cause and effect. That the act of experiencing a smell is also done as a cause and effect. The act of experiencing a taste also done as a cause and effect. The act of experiencing the contact with the body is also done as cause and effect. And the creation of a thought too is a cause, it's a result of a cause and effect. But you have, as a worldling, created this personality belief in you. You believe that all these activities are committed by the being within you, who is created by the personality belief. The world around you, according to Dhamma, is a creation as a result of cause and effect. To the 6 sense basis. But you take upon yourself the responsibility that it is what you have made because of the personal belief in you. If you ask the question, who created this personality belief in you? The personality belief is created by the consciousness in you. When you think of the 6 activities you perform, they are causally created and there is no author for any such activity. But because you have created this personality belief in you, which has created the being in you, you have a great belief that the act of seeing is done by you. So, the other activities by the sense basis, experienced by activity committed by you and not as a result of a cause and effect. You possess the body and the mind. The body and the mind, it performs activities as cause and effect. Such activities sometimes result in something good and something bad. On the whole, it's more. Incidents which you do not like that occurs more than incidents you like. Like and dislike are 2 extremes of one thing. And you shoulder the responsibility that all such activities, whether good or bad, are your commitment. And you are personally responsible for such activities. whereas in fact they are all causally created. Though the personality belief has created the being in you, according to the philosophy preached by Buddha, there is no such being in you. The body is the result of a karma which you have committed in the past that gave you birth to a life of this nature, possessing this body. And the thinking process that is in you, the consciousness, is what the desire has created in you. So these two now together performing tasks as a being in the world, according to the worldly view, but whereas they are just cause and effect and nothing else. The consciousness had the capacity to think and create situations. Yeah, one is led to believe in certain things. The body by itself cannot do anything. It can only breathe. And all the activities body commits are the result of a direction given by the mind. Now, what make one to believe that? His personality belief is dukkha. As I told you, the world in very existence is dukkha. It is his very existence that leads to various aspects of suffering which he is confronted with. Because of his existence, these incidents occur one after the other. And it is one mass of dukkha. He is subjected to. According to the dependent origination, he is subjected to dukkha, the suffering because of birth. Anybody who is born is subject to such dukkha. And he is subject to this dukkha for suffering endlessly. The question is, who is born? Who is existing, so to say? Though one has a belief that around the personality you possess, that there is so-called being in you. But in truth and fact, there is no such being. This belief is created by the consciousness in you. As I told you and discussed on many occasions in earlier discourses, that what you experience through your six sense bases are as a result of thoughts created by the consciousness. When you contact an experience through a sense base pertaining to that sense activity, reaction takes place. And when the contact is proper takes place, the consciousness is the third party that appears. First is the base and the object that attracts that base, like the eye and the visual object. Once these two come in contact with each other, the third party that arrives is the consciousness. And immediately consciousness takes steps to produce five common mental factors which perform their task one after the other in a split second, resulting in the creation of thought. This thought not only creates the activity of the sense base, but it also, in addition to that, the very same mental factors that created the thought for the functioning of the sense base produce a delusion in the mind of the person who goes through the experience that around his personality is the being who experienced this object through the sense base. And for the creation of this delusion in anybody's mind, five things are responsible. They are the mental factor contact, which creates the first impression of the personality. And it is this person who has this personality who experiences the feelings, whether the object is good or bad, that attraction of the sense base. Immediately followed by another mental factor, perception, which gives the identity of the object. And then the volition takes place, committing the act of seeing or hearing or whatever it may be that the sense base is expected to perform. And in all these are all mental factors depending on the consciousness participates. They are called the five grasping groups. They are five in number, being, contact, feeling, perception, volition, and the consciousness. Grasping is the result of desire. Group is, they form into one group as such. The five contributing in every respect to create this personality belief. Around the form possessed by the person, personality. This is a delusion that is created in every thought that is created by the mind in the execution of the activities committed by the sense bases. Therefore, when you experience something through a sense base, you also create the impression in you that experience is something which this personality, this so-called person, has seen, observed, or experienced. This is the delusion. That's the creation by the consciousness. To have a good idea about the value of this creation by the consciousness, I would quote the illustrations given by Buddha explaining the value of the five grasping groups, or five mental factors which form the grasping group, which contribute to the formation of the grasping group. Mental factor contact is compared to a collection of foam, bubbles of water, which has no value at all. They rise and pass away. Mental factor feeling is compared to a bubble of water created as a drop of rain falls on the surface of water. It arises and passes away, no value at all. Perception is compared to a mirage, which you normally observe during daytime and when there is sunshine, bright weather. At a distance you see a stretch of water. But when you approach that spot, that disappears. It's only an illusion. And your volitional activity is compared to the trunk of a tender plant and tree. It has no pith in it, no hard wood in it, except wrappings by the leaves of the plant and tree. In appearance, it has certainly appearance of a developed plant. And with the girth and the height it has grown, one can come to the conclusion that it has hardwood in it, but it has nothing. And the consciousness of the creator of all these things compared to a magician, that's something which you must bear in mind. He is a magician, the consciousness. He always creates something to deceive others. He does not give us the true picture of a situation. So when he has produced these five mental factors and create the thought about an experience you have gone through, a sense base, like seeing a form, hearing a noise, experiencing a smell through the nose, experiencing a taste through the tongue, contact through the body, and the creation of a thought, all these are creations by the mind. And you know the value of this. They are thoughts. You perform the activities to seek sense basis as a result of the production of a thought. And the contents of that thought are just creations by the mind. Like a magician does it, the consciousness creates these things for us and mislead us. And in addition to this, it also creates this personality belief. As I explained to you, that the very existence of this so-called mind and body is one mass of suffering. And Buddha gave a definition of suffering in the Wheel of Dhamma. And every moment you exist in this world is one mass of suffering and nothing else. You possess a body which is source of many sicknesses, some conspicuously observed from outside, but many are there, dormant in your body. One mass of suffering, and the thinking process creates many situations where you are every moment subject to some suffering. Then the question is asked, why are you suffering? It is your body and the mind that is subject to suffering. This body and the mind are created as a result of cause and effect. Why should you take the responsibility of suffering? And it is this personality belief, brothers and sisters, that has created that impression in your mind that you are suffering. It is the personality belief that is the cause of your suffering. That is suffering. Suffering is there because the body is there and the mind is there. You are subject to many situations where you begin to suffer. In other words, this combination is one mass of suffering. But that doesn't mean to say that there is any person as such within you who is subject to suffering. But you have come to that conclusion as a result of the personality, the belief that you have created, that you are suffering. That is why Buddha says, this is suffering, that is suffering, this is suffering, this is suffering. But summarizing this suffering, it is this personality belief that you believe in that has created this suffering in you. Now we come to the next subject. The cause of suffering is the personality belief. It is clearly indicated by Buddha that the cause of suffering is desire. What creates desire in you? Your act of seeing, your act of hearing, your act of smelling, You act of tasting, you act of conducting things with the body, and you act of thinking. These six things create the desire in you. Therefore, you may call these six types of desires are created in your mind by these six functions of the six sense bases. One would ask the question, if it is the thought that enables you to experience an object through a sense base, how is it that you have taken upon yourself the responsibility of subjecting yourself to suffering? Does the act of seeing make you suffer? Does the act of hearing make you suffer? Does the act of contacting make you suffer? None of those sense-based activities in their performance makes any person suffer. They are just cause and effect and nothing else. Then how is it that you are this cause of suffering is yourself. The spontaneous activity of the mind in the creation of a thought to enable you to see, hear, smell, taste, contact and think, there is no attachment or aversion created. Aversion or attachment is the cause of desire. Who creates this aversion and attachment? After all, these are two distinct activities by some individual that creates aversion, hatred towards a thing, or dislike towards a thing, attachment, liking towards a thing. It is this personality belief, brothers and sisters, that you have created in yourself that pushes you beyond the mere act of seeing, making you to pursue what is good and enjoy it and create the attachment. To pursue what is not to your liking and create that aversion. Of attachment and aversion are two distinct acts committed by this so-called personality belief, being who has been created by this personality belief. It is the personality belief that made you to go beyond the mere experiencing of a sense-based activity to create in you an attachment or go beyond the mere experiencing of a sense-based activity to create in you an attachment or an aversion and thereby a desire. That is not occurrence, unless one has pursued such occurrence that happens automatically, you know. With your eyes you see, and that caused by the creation of a thought. With your ears you hear, that's also creation by a thought. With your nose you experience a smell, that's again the creation of a thought. With your tongue you experience a taste, the creation of a thought. With your body you experience a contact, that's again a creation of a thought. And with your mind you experience something, again it's a thought, nothing else. One can very clearly see that there is no continuity in that. Beyond merely the creation of what you experience through the sense base. That's all. But who pursues that further? to enjoy, so to say, what is good. To create a dislike distinctly for what you, about the disappointment you are met with. You expected something good, something tasty, something to your satisfaction, but that did not occur. And who created the dissatisfaction? It is the personality belief. The so-called being that has been created in your mind. The personality belief made you to pursue these experiences in order to create the desire. Create an attachment which led to the creation of desire. And when there is no attachment to create an aversion which led to the creation of desire. Desire is something alien, so to say, not part and parcel of your normal consciousness. Desire is something which you have subsequently created in your mind, developed in your mind on your own. And who has done that? This so-called belief you have, the personality, the person in you that has created that. Therefore, one can clearly indicate that the personality belief is the cause of desire. If you did not create that personality belief in you, you would not pursue any of your sense-based activities beyond mere experiencing the activities. The person that you created in your mind in search of something pleasant to taste that and enjoy it and create an attachment to it. The pursuit you made to pursue what you did not like and create an aversion to it is something done by the personality belief in you. Therefore, the personality belief is the desire, cause of desire. Cause of desire. That's quite clear, brothers and sisters. I emphasize again that mere seeing an object would not create that desire. Also experiencing other objects through the sixth sense basis would not create that desire. Unless you have taken positive steps to enjoy personally the desire, to create that desire in the way of experiencing some attachment or aversion. These are the two things that contribute to the creation of desire. And these two things are created, aversion and attachment, as a result of the personality belief in you, who considered that there's a being in one, in you, and you as a being pursue these experiences and either enjoys or creates an aversion to them. This has resulted in the creation of desire. So it's your personality belief, brothers and sisters, that has created the desire. Then the next step is, the third step is, cessation of desire is cessation of the personality belief. That's something which you must give thought to. Desire is created by the sixth sense basis. You maintain desire as a result of enjoying activities to the sense basis if they are pleasant, or creating aversion to experience you gain to the sense basis if they are unpleasant. And I emphasize that this pleasant and unpleasantness is not merely an occurrence, it's a creation by a so-called being whom you have created in your mind. And that is the personality belief. You created that. Now, having practiced this philosophy taught by Buddha, you begin to really see that there is no such personality as such. This so-called being is purely a creation by us. As a result of trying to pursue experiences again to the sense basis to the bitter end in the way of creating an attachment or create an aversion. What you are expected to do is to see with your eyes only. What you are expected to do is to experience things with your ears in the way of hearing a noise or sound. What you are expected to do with your nose is to smell something good or bad. And with your tongue to experience the taste. And with your body to experience the contact. And with your mind to experience a thought created by you. Isn't that the purpose of providing you with the six sense bases? Isn't that the world which you live in created by you? As a result of this experience, there is in this world of yours which you have created around you, there are experiences you have gone through your eyes in seeing things. Experiences you have gone through your ears in hearing things. Experiences you have gone through your nose in smelling things. Experiences you have gone through your tongue in tasting things. Experiences you have gone through your body in contacting things. Experiences gained through your mind in thinking about things. That's the composition of the world. Your like and a dislike, the force that is indicated in the mental activity feeling, whether you like it or not like it. And that is all you are expected to perform. But you went a little further than that. You try to enjoy that which is appealing to you and search for more and more such things that appeal to you. And in the case of disappointment, that too became an encouragement to you to search for more and more things to enjoy. That is why disappointment became also a contribution to the creation of desire. And that additional thing you did because of the creation of this false belief in you, personality, belief in you, that there's a being in you. When in reality there is no such thing. Your seeing in this world has not created aversion attachment. Your seeing in this world has not created also desire. Also the other sense-based activities by themselves have not created the desire. Distinctly there is reference by Buddha that you created the desire as a result of pursuing pleasant sensations and enjoying them and creating a distaste for those which you do not like. Who created this like? Who created this taste of liking things and who created this taste of disliking things? That person has the belief. In other words, it's the being created by you which you believe in that created this false impression in your mind. And that created this fetter called the desire. And once you get out of this false belief, this personality belief of being living in you, you ask the question whether you would pursue an experience gained through your eyes more than seeing. You ask the question yourself whether you an experience you gain through your ear more than hearing. You ask the question yourself whether you would pursue an experience gained through your nose more than smelling. You ask yourself the question whether you would go through an experience you have gained through your tongue more than tasting. You ask the question yourself whether you would pursue an experience gained through your body more than contacting and through your mind more than thinking, brothers. You see the clearness of the argument. You see the the fiction created in your mind as a result of unnecessary pursuing these things, the bitter end in the way of creating attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion are something foreign to you. It does not occur automatically in a person. It occurs as a result of your unnecessary pursuing something, resulting in the creation of attachment or resulting in the creation of aversion. Somebody must pursue this. Who pursued? This person and the belief pursued it. And once you begin to see clearly that there is no being in you, that this is all activity by the mind and body, causally created, that perform the six sense-based activities, which are the only functions that a human being can perform. And such functions are performed not as a being performing such functions, but they are performed merely as cause and effect. You see that clearly in your mind. You argue out yourself and then come to that reasonable conclusion that there is no person as such doing these things except the cause and effect has created these six situations. Then naturally you will give up your personality belief. Once a personality belief is not there, brothers and sisters, would there be desire existing in you created by the personality belief? No, that too will disappear. You will never believe in desire after that because it's a personality belief that has created the desire, and once this personality belief disappears, the desire too will disappear. Therefore, cessation of the personality belief is the cessation of desire. Let me take the next instance, the path leading to cessation of desire. Is again the path leading to cessation of the personality belief. The three things that you are expected to do along this path is to develop virtue in you. Even the five precepts are sufficient. Then develop your mind in concentration because you need certain amount of deep thinking. These circumstances are not found on the surface. What is found on the surface are absolutely misleading. They support the person as they believe. But once you analyze these things in depth, you find that there is no truth in them. Therefore, you need a mind developed in concentration, which can go into depth in the analysis of an object through your reasoning. After all, Buddha clearly stated that his attainment of Buddha was chiefly dependent on can't just take things as they are. Could this happen? Why should this happen this way? Well, is there a possibility of any other way creating this similar situation? Likewise, you must think broadly about things. And it is your thinking that will ultimately lead to the development of the truth in you. We are used to taking things as they are because our capacity of thinking is only at the level of the surface. But when you have depth in your thinking, when you can go into the thing clearly and see the truth, the realistic aspect of things, and that will lead you to the creation of wisdom in you. And to enable you to do that, Buddha revealed three realities which are permanent. They are realistic. And all component things in the world are subject to these three realities. They are impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things, and the soullessness. You can subject anything which you experience through your eye, which you experience through your ears, which you experience through your nose, which you experience through your tongue, which you experience through your body, and which you experience through your mind. These are the six experiences you are subjected to as mind and matter. Or in a worldly way as a being, you begin to see that there is no being in you. That this machinery, a composition of mind and matter, performs its task as a result of cause and effect and nothing else. There is no person as such responsible for your activities. Cause and effect enables you to see. Cause and effect enables you to hear. Cause and effect enables you to smell. Cause and effect enables you to taste, experience the taste. Cause and effect enables you to contact. And the cause and effect enables you to think. These are the six functions. In a worldly way, I call you a worldling can perform. And this performance completely a performance, not as an individual performing them, but these are causally created, and that false impression is created that there is a personality to believe that there is a being in you and this being is committing these activities. You clear that impression completely. Once you clear that personality belief impression out of your mind, then you can see clearly the truth before you. It is this sakkayadity, or these five grasping groups that create that sakkayadity, that false belief, personality belief in you, that misleads us from the very beginning to the end. The person who thinks, thinking that there is a person enjoying them, when in fact and in truth, every incident that occurs in us is just a cause and an effect and nothing else. But the so-called five grasping groups creating this personality belief in you makes you to pursue these activities to the bitter end, as if someone within you is enjoying them or creating a distaste for an experience which you would not like. These two extremes, one of these two extremes, he always falls into all creation by the mind. In fact, his entire living, his entire existence in this world as a human being is on this false impression which he has created in his mind of a personality belief in you, or in other words, creation of a being within him. All his activities which are causally created, which are the result of cause and effect, he attributes to the performance by this so-called being created by the personality belief. What a misleading condition we are in as worldlings. You are called a worldling because of the personality belief. If you solve this problem, you have solved everything. And the solution leading to this, solution leading to the clarification of this, or clearing of this doubt in your mind, depends on your virtue, your concentration, and the development of wisdom. The wisdom referred to is the three realities, realization of three realities of life, impermanence, unsatisfaction, existence, and the soulless. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you must have a very, very sound knowledge of this personality belief called sakkayadity, or in normal terms, belief in a person within you performing these activities which are causally created as a result of the body and the mind performing acts together. May this truth dawn to you, and may you drop this false view that you have that there is a being within you, And realization will lead you to the attainment of Nibbana. May you all attain Nibbana.